Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
First and Pod, hosted by Danny Parkin and Andrew Filippone.
Chargers Raiders. What are the Raiders going to do with Josh Jacobs? Should they tag him?
Yes, they should. And I don't always say that, but man, I think with running backs, you don't want to invest a lot of money in them. That's multi-year. You don't want to use high draft picks on them. But in a situation like this, where it's a year-to-year thing, and he's meant so much to your offense, I think they've got to try to run it back with him next year and just hope they have better luck in these close games. But I don't think they will. I just don't think that that's the philosophy of that organization with a former Patriot guy as both the GM and the coach there. So I think Jacobs will be in what is a very deep, I mean, there's a lot of big name running backs that are going to be free agents this offseason.
Well, so that's the thing that I was going to bring up. And I don't have the list in front of me for all of them, but Saquon, Jacobs, Pollard, David Montgomery, and like four or five others. Plus, they say it's an awesome running back draft class. So
Bijan Robinson.
So it feels like it would be crazy to franchise tag any of them, because in theory, they all will suppress each other's market. Who's going to get it? Why would you give a big contract to a running back this offseason if there's 10 guys available?
But I wouldn't look at it as a big contract, because it's just the 1 year. I think doing the 1 year is actually the best move. I got to be honest with you.
I don't know what other Raiders free agents at more premium positions who they might be interested in tagging. Like, if it's a year where they don't have a tag on a tackle, a corner, whatever, then fine. But I don't, sometimes teams like franchise tag their kicker, right? And if it's like one of those years,
but
then
also
sure, go ahead.
It's the average of the top five salaries. What are the top five salaries at running back right now?
That's top 10.
Is
the average
top
10? Top 10, unless you do the exclusive tag, then it's top five.
Okay. That's not going to be that much money.
No.
So right. they should do it.
He's been incredible. So, and I'm all for him getting paid when it's not my team paying the running back. Seahawks, Rams. Oh, this is a negatively slanted question. What's the bigger fluke? Seattle's success or the Rams' failure? How dare you besmirch Geno?
Okay, so what is it?
I guess, do either have to be a fluke? Like,
well yes, because, oh wait, so when I worded it that way, I meant like both of these teams have, like, if you simulate this season 100 times,
yeah,
right? How often do the Seahawks end up with a winning record? How many times do the Rams end up with one of the worst records in the entire NFL? It's like the Rams have had a Murphy's Law season, and the Seahawks have had, for the most part, up until maybe the last couple of weeks, a fantasy season, a dream season.
So, I guess the Rams season is more of a fluke. They won the Super Bowl last year. They've had a ton of injuries, and it feels like it's fallen off for them so quickly, which just, it doesn't happen to all of those guys, but they were an older team. They sacrificed draft picks. They were a top heavy roster. So then you suffer some injuries to the guys at the top of the roster. You know, that'll happen. No, I don't think there's many simulations of the year where a Super Bowl team ends up having a top five pick. And then just to make matters worse, they also don't have their own first round pick. Mm-hmm. Right. So like that's going to be painful for them. Maybe I'm a homer, man, but Seattle's 6-5. They got rid of Russell Wilson, who's awful, that they didn't want to pay, which makes them look right in that evaluation. And in the few games that Geno Smith got in last year, he completed 68% of his passes, had 5 touchdowns and 1 pick. And then he just got to play this year, and he played well, and they've had a really easy schedule. Their wins have been Denver, Detroit, Arizona, the Chargers, the Giants, and Arizona. Like, that's not that ridiculous that they beat those teams and are 6-5 with losses to, again, not that impressive of teams: Vegas, Tampa, New Orleans, Atlanta, and San Francisco. Like, easy schedule, a game above 500, got rid of a quarterback who looks completely washed up and was a distraction. And they've had a few revelations on their team, like with Walker at running back. Like, I don't really feel like Seattle's that fluky to me.
Well, I thought when the season started, we had them in the mix of like,
wrong.
Okay.
I think we were just wrong about Seattle, you know, but like they're going to finish like 9-8. You know, it's not that impressive. The Rams could finish.
Yeah, but what was their total before the season started? 4.5 or something like that? They breezed by that.
Yeah, maybe 5.5, something like that. Yeah. So they'll overachieve by 4 games, and the Rams will underachieve by 6 or 7.
Well, I also think it's a fluke in that the Geno Smith thing, that evaluation now, this coming offseason is going to be super interesting. Do they commit to him? Do they do a bridge where they commit to him kind of and draft a guy? Like, do they go all in on him? He's in his early 30s, but there's not a lot of wear and tear. Like, do they really buy what he's done this year is sustainable and he's going to be able to replicate it down the road? Like, I think the jury is still out on all of that. Like, I'm not as sold as you are that this is going to be Geno Smith now for the next few years.
Yeah, I mean, part of me is rooting for it as much as I am convinced by it. I think they'll give him a contract like Jimmy Garoppolo or Tannehill. Like
what? Like, yeah. Tannehill?
The first time he got a deal,
when he went from Miami to Tennessee. I thought the contract he signed with Tennessee was like for $100-something million.
I was thinking maybe the first Jimmy contract, next year will be guaranteed. It'll be like a 3-year deal. Next year will pay him 20-something million. The year after that, like half of it'll be guaranteed. And then the third year, it'll be like no guarantees. Like he'll get like a year and a half guaranteed of starter money. And if he keeps playing well, he gets to be their starter till he's 35. That's what I think they do. All right, we're going long. 3 more games.
Wait, you skipped one.
Did I?
Broncos Ravens. Only half of the Broncos team went to Russell Wilson's birthday party. And that is a story because it's being used now and being held up as more proof that people hate Russell Wilson. Your thoughts?
I think that it's hilarious where this has gotten to with Russ, and I've enjoyed a lot of it because he's faker than a $3 bill. But we have Jalen Johnson on the show every week, Bears cornerback. Him and Eddie Jackson are tight. Eddie Jackson hosts the secondary at his house on Thursdays. He brings in a barber. They watch Thursday Night Football. They order food. It's a thing. He threw a Thanksgiving party gathering for the whole team. offense, defense, whatever. Jalen Johnson couldn't go. He doesn't, it's not that he doesn't like Eddie Jackson. He just couldn't go. Like, Sierra threw Russell Wilson a fucking birthday party on a Wednesday and 25 dudes showed up. And that's supposed to be like, oh, see, they hate him? 25 dudes showed up. Would 25 guys show up to your birthday party on a Wednesday?
But I'm also not married to a major pop star, music star that's like doing this elaborate party where they're bringing celebrities in.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying there are bigger pieces of evidence to me that Russell Wilson is here's not popular.
I would agree with that, but I think it does speak again to how self-absorbed this guy is and self-centered. Dude, what the hell are you doing in the middle of a football season when your team sucks? Why are you throwing a big elaborate party for yourself? You have people over for Thanksgiving. It's a communal holiday. We're supposed to be around people that you care about and all that stuff. A birthday party is a party about me. It's about you. It's come to this gathering to celebrate me.
You're saying he should have been born in April.
I'm saying it's what everybody already says about him. That he makes everything about himself.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this is. So of course it is a referendum on him in that way. When it's your birthday party, it's a measure of how popular you are and how much people like you. And this is proof that people prioritized other shit than going to his very expensive party.
All right, can we wrap this up? We're an hour into First and Pod. If you're still listening, thank you. Please tell a friend, subscribe, rate, review.
We only have two teams on bye, that's why. Keep going.
Steelers, Falcons. This is a pony slanted question.
Correct.
Is Kenny Pickett better than the 2023 quarterback draft prospects?
Your thoughts?
I was impressed with Kenny Pickett against the Colts. I think that Bryce Young has everything you would want other than size. And that's a big other than.
Yep.
It's a big other than. But I like a lot of what I see out of him. And CJ Stroud, we'll see.
Oh, there's a ringing endorsement. The we'll see from Danny. Oof.
Oh, I mean, huge arm. Ohio State quarterbacks traditionally haven't done it. Fields looks awesome. I don't really buy into the idea that, like, because guys before you at your school couldn't do it. But, like, I think that they're going to go 1-2. I know everyone's obsessed with Will Anderson, but I think teams talk themselves into quarterbacks at the top of the draft. So you're saying Kenny Pickett would have gone first in this year's draft?
No, I'm not saying that, but Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and Trevor Lawrence were all picked ahead of Fields. Josh Allen wasn't the first quarterback in his draft. Lamar Jackson went 32nd, was the last pick of the first round. So, you know, I don't necessarily like that argument. I wanted to bring this up and engage your thought, get your take on this, because where I am, there was a huge discussion that it was a mistake by the Steelers to draft the quarterback in 2022 because there was this incredible crop of quarterbacks in 2023, and it just hasn't played out that way.
I know.
Not even close to that.
Right.
I mean, Levis has came out, and someone's going to talk themselves into him, the Kentucky kid, but yep. He had a terrible year. He had an atrocious year.
Of all the guys that I've seen, I still think it's Bryce Young.
So do I. But I think one hit might break him into a million pieces. That's the problem with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how many players in the league would you trade Kenny Pickett for? Zero?
I'd trade him for maybe a handful of guys.
Maybe a handful of guys.
But I heard a cop size-wise for Bryce Young is Seneca Wallace. That's what one person told me on him.
That's not good.
Nope.
Okay, well, this is a nice light topic at the end of the show. Browns, Texans, how should, and I'm going to add how will, CBS and the networks cover Deshaun Watson's return?
Man, I feel like they're just going to try to bury it because there's so many good games this weekend.
Like, I don't think so.
Really?
Well, we had Boomer on. I asked him a question about it. I think it's going to be on the NFL Today, probably is the lead story on pregame. I think CBS will lead with it on pregame.
Really?
He didn't say that, but he's definitely prepared to talk about it critically. And that's, you know, they've got Chiefs Bengals, obviously. So they got every reason to hype that game, and they will for the 3 o'clock window, the 4 o'clock Eastern window. But, dude, there's going to be protests. They're bringing 10 accusers to the game. It's crazy to me that it, I mean, the teams are bad, so I get it. Tough spot for Jay Feely and Spiro Ditas. Like, it just doesn't feel like the crew that's going to handle it in-game in any sort of meaningful or critical way.
Well, I'm good friends with the sideline reporter for that game. Aditi Kinkabwala used to work for the NFL Network, who's now a CBS sideline reporter. And I talked to her on Wednesday. And this is my read. This is not a direct quote. But I almost got the feeling that she was hoping that they did not make Watson available to her before the game. Because there might be restrictions put on it by the Browns. Or, like, how do you journalistically handle in a 90-second or 2 or 3 minute interview, how do you even do that with Watson in that spot?
I think the question game day, if she gets him and he'll, you know, based on how he handled it today, Thursday, as we tape this, you know, he deflected all non-football questions when he finally did a little bit of a media session. But, like, there are 10 accusers in the stands today. What would you say to them if you had an opportunity to talk to them?
Oh, God. That's a good question. But, like, he's just going to hit you with, I'm here
to play football.
Yeah.
But I think if you ask him, hey, are you nervous? You haven't played football. I think it's like, you haven't played football in 700 days. What are you expecting from yourself? What kind of reception are you expecting from Texans fans? 10 accusers are here. What would you say to them as you get ready to return to your pro football career? Those would probably be my three questions.
Well, and the way that stadium treats him during the game, I think is going to be a major story too. Because I don't think it's going to be
pretty. All a major story. How does he play? How good can you possibly look not having played in 700 days? How do the fans handle it? How does the media handle it? How does he handle it post-game? Do players on the other team say something? I mean, he can't be universally popular in the NFL anymore.
I mean, we brought this up on my show in Pittsburgh today, talking about Antonio Brown, for example, and Darren Sharper. Like, is Watson just not – has he already eliminated himself? He's got the highest career passer rating in NFL history. Is he out of Hall of Fame consideration because of what happened? Because there's no way Darren Sharper gets in. He's in prison, and he made the Hall of Fame All-Decade team at safety. And there's no way they would ever let Antonio Brown have a parade and a speech in Canton, Ohio, based on what he did at the tail end of his career on the field and what he's done since. There's no character clause like in baseball, but we know that they just don't want that for a ceremonial thing.
Yeah, I think that it's very unlikely. You know, no criminal charges, and how many years he has left in his football career, give it a chance. I mean, the guy threw for 5,000 yards at 23 years old. Like, he's a pretty special talent, but I'd you'd probably need to give me 10-1 for him to make the Hall of Fame. Like, I think it's very, very, very unlikely. All right, last game, Lions-Jaguars. I think that the answer to this one's easy, but which team has the brighter future?
Lions.
Oh, stop.
What do you mean?
You don't believe
what you
that.
Did this whole speech last week about how the Lawrence love had swung too strongly in one direction. Now I hit you with Lions here because they have the Rams pick and they've been your team and they've won. They've looked good in three out of their last four games, look good against the Bills, and you're incredulous that I said Lions.
One team has their quarterback, the other doesn't.
That's it. That's all that matters.
Yes. Yes, it is. That is literally
well,
Boomer
Esiason says Jared Goff's a really good quarterback. So there, take that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Trevor Lawrence the last 3 weeks has been very good. He is a number one pick. He's a huge prospect with a huge ceiling. We just talked about how we don't love the quarterback class for this year. They might end up just drafting Will Anderson to put him on the same defensive line with Aiden Hutchinson, which would be amazing.
Yep.
That would be an amazing, but I mean, it's a tough way to win in the NFL if you don't have a quarterback, man. So,
but has Goff been bad this year?
Huh?
I said, has Goff been bad this year?
No, but do you think that Jared Goff could ever be a top 10 quarterback?
No, but we've already seen a team go to the Super Bowl with him.
Yeah.
Right?
Coached with Sean McVay, like peak of his powers. Dan Campbell ain't Sean McVay, man. He's a lot of things.
But if he's got Amon-Ra St. Brown and they bring in and they get Jameson Williams and they get another receiver and they get Hutchinson and Anderson, I mean, I'm just saying.
All right. Next 5 years, Lions v. Jaguars. I'll take the Jaguars.
Yeah, I probably will too.
Thank you to Spencer Ray. Subscribe, rate, review, tell a friend. We're on after Sunday Night Football, which
Colts
is what
and Cowboys
and Colts, right?
Yep.
All right. We'll talk to you then. Peace.